Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Folks, how are you?
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoons.
You feel good!
You know, two dudes talking sports.
Well, wait, listen to those two clowns.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It is my great privilege to welcome you to Canton, Ohio.
Powered by Paramount Elite ICS.
It's showtime.
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show!
Ah, rats!
What a crappy weekend that was, huh?
You ain't kidding.
My goodness gracious.
Jeez.
I mean, you couldn't have written a worse script than the Buckeyes losing at home to Oregon, the Indians setting a Major League Baseball record getting no hit for the third time in a nine-inning game this year, and then the Browns blowing a 22-10 halftime lead and losing at Kansas City.
Ah, rats!
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, come on, man. All in one weekend, really? What was with the sports gods that figured they just had to, well, rain on our parade, if you will, and I'll clean it up for radio purposes. I would have said something else, but the boss probably
wouldn't have. So would I, but I just keep saying, ah, rats.
Damn. I mean, the Buckeyes, that was embarrassing at home. Their defense,
yeah.
Bishop Sycamore has a better defense than Ohio State does right now. Okay, that's how bad. It's historically bad, JT, and we're going to talk to Jeff Logan at 4:30. The Buckeyes have given up 118 points over their last three games going back to the championship game against Alabama. That's the most over a three-game stretch since 1891.
Oh, Nelly.
1891 they haven't given up since then that many points in three games. That's how bad they were.
Yeah, it's tough to watch. It's brutal, actually. And I don't want to be the guy that comes on here and makes excuses for it. But you look at the game and you wonder, what if? What if Ohio State would have taken the bull by the horns and those first two drives would have converted into two touchdowns and maybe go up 14-0 to start the game instead of being down 7-0 and they were trailing the entire game? They got out Buckeyed. They got out Buckeyed.
They never led the entire game. They never led in the game. The Browns led 22-10 at halftime. The Browns led in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter. The Buckeyes never led at home against a team they were 14-point favorites.
We're going to find out what kind of team they are. We don't know what kind of team the Browns are yet. We have an idea of who they are. We showed really well. They put their best foot forward, and they played fairly decent with the exception of maybe four plays that got away from them. Now, you don't want a shallow, you don't want a hollow victory. There are no participation trophies here, but the Browns played good enough to win. You know, the Browns didn't lose that game. They beat themselves. The Buckeyes, on the other hand, I heard in the post game. And I had to rip this one off because I've never heard this before. Tell me if you have.
All right.
Normally you're the hammer. Today you are the nail.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one before.
That's a good one.
Coach
and it
speak.
Made sense.
Yep. Absolutely. And the Buckeyes, they were the nail.
Yes.
And they got hammered repeatedly, man. That defense, Kerry Combs, I was talking with somebody today. If Tulsa puts up 35 or more, should he be fired? That's how bad it is. I mean, historically bad. I gave you that stat. It's not made up. That's 1891.
On my way home from Columbus, you know, we do the big tailgate on Lane Avenue, and I had to drive down Ackerman. And Ackerman is where they've got the practice facility. And I was thinking to myself, and wasn't it Coach Slates after Perry lost to Central Catholic, and he comes out and he says, we're practicing Saturday morning.
Yep.
I was thinking to myself, Ryan Day should grab that defense, go over there and tackle some dummies right now because it's bad.
JT, I don't know if it can be fixed.
Well, here's a problem.
I just don't know if it can.
Here's a problem. You look at the Buckeyes program and you look at it, and you know it's littered with 4- and 5-star recruits. The problem is this. It's either personnel or it's schemes. I don't know which is which, but as you mentioned, they're in man-to-man most of the time, which means – the offense knows exactly where they're going, and they know what's going to be open. And guess what? When you've got a smart offensive coordinator on the other side, I'm going to run this until you stop me, right?
They had three touchdowns on the same play.
Stop me. It took the Buckeyes more than a half to figure out what Oregon was doing before we made adjustments. And if you can't make adjustments on the fly and you don't show them something else, a different schematic on defense, it's going to be a long day, and that's what it was. The Buckeyes could not win a shootout with that team because we could never stop them. You were down too much to overcompensate for your offense. By the way, they had over 600 yards total offense, right. Buckeyes.
Right.
You have that much offense, you should never lose a game unless your defense is absolutely horrible.
Here's the one thing a buddy of mine pointed out to me, Bob Kalfas. He said, do you realize that both the Ohio State game and the Browns game ended the same way? I said, what do you mean, Bob? He goes, they had a chance in both games, Ohio State to tie, the Browns to win, and the quarterback made an ill-advised throw in both cases, and that was the freshman C.J. Stroud getting picked off on a ball he should have either threw into the stands or just scrambled and ran out of bounds. And Baker Mayfield, same thing. And he's right.
Yeah, he is right. But the thing is, when you consider the two different games, it looked as though the Browns had something going on. The Buckeyes, you just didn't feel good about anything that day. You know, yeah, they could have maybe forced overtime, but there's no guarantees they would have won that game in overtime. They were being outplayed even though they had more yardage. But to me, it was like they were getting out-physicaled. They were getting Oregon showed much better speed. And as you mentioned in your postgame, they were down five players. Their star athletes weren't even on the field. You got out Buckeyed.
Yeah, they did, man. And that's the and JT, it was the big recruiting weekend, too.
Sure it was.
All the top-notch recruits were there, and they come all that way. And here's the thing about Oregon. Oregon flew across the country, west coast to east coast. A 12 p.m. start means it's a 9 a.m. start for those guys. They're minus five of their best players, starters on defense. They're 14-point underdogs, and they come into Ohio and beat the Buckeyes in the shoe in front of all those recruits. You can't ask for a better recruiting tool if you're the Oregon Ducks right there.
I'll tell you something else, too. Now, no player goes into a stadium and thinks that they don't have an opportunity or a chance to win a game. But I was talking to a lot of the Oregon fans after that game.
Okay.
And to a man, they're like, we didn't see this happening.
Really?
Because I ask them, I go, who's the cream of the crop when it comes to the Pac-12? Is it you guys? Good question. We don't know. Maybe it's UCLA. I mean, this was like an old-fashioned Pac-12 beatdown. It's like when we used to lose to USC all the time. Remember?
Right. Yep.
Terrell Pryor's your quarterback. Yep. Everybody's thinking really good things. Here comes USC, who has been terrible for the last 10 years. They come into a Columbus and they beat us.
Yeah.
And this game resembled one of those games. And it was like an old-fashioned, how can they be faster than us? Aren't we predicated on speed? Speed kills. Normally, we're the best team in the Big Ten, maybe this side of the Mississippi. They got taken out to the, what do they call it, the woodshed?
Woodshed, man. Yep. They did, man.
They did.
I mean, Iowa right now is the most impressive team, in my opinion, in the Big Ten. With their two wins, think about who they
Michigan?
Beat. Iowa beat Indiana, crushed them, right? And then the rivalry matchup against Iowa State, and they win that one by 10. Michigan hadn't beaten anybody yet. Washington's no good. They're 0-2.
They had no offense.
Yeah, and I don't know who Michigan played. I think they played Bishop Sycamore in week one. So, no, not Michigan yet. So, for me, of the Big Ten schools that I've seen right now, Iowa's the best team in the Big Ten, in my opinion, after 2 weeks.
One other point about the Buckeyes and the way that game transpired is for me, I'd like to see a more balanced attack. I don't need a freshman quarterback. And God bless him, he threw for 484 yards and, what, four touchdowns?
Yeah.
Whatever it was. But the thing is this. I'm not going to have to rely on a freshman quarterback to win that game. I need more from the running game. So if that's the case, I can't put all the blame on Kerry Coombs. Some of this blame has got to go on the shoulders of your head coach, whoever's calling the plays. We think it's Ryan Day, right?
It is.
Some of that blame has got to go on Ryan Day. Maybe they took that team too lightly.
They did. And that I saw that from the get-go, based on the physicality that you were talking about. They thought they were just going to show up. Oregon's coming, like I said, coming across the country. It's a noon kickoff. We got fans in the stands, 100,000. They're minus five guys. We'll just show up. We want our first game at Minnesota. We're Ohio State. And guess what? Just like back in 2014 in week two, Virginia Tech 35, Ohio State 21, right?
Sometimes you get punched in the mouth. Let's see if they can get up. Well, let's see if they salvage the season now or they hang their heads.
Well, they lose one more time, they have no chance at the playoffs. And even with the one loss, their chances are slim, probably, in my opinion. Okay? Because guess what? Two teams are coming out of the SEC this year. Alabama and Georgia are coming out of the SEC to play in the Final Four. That's only going to leave two spots, in my opinion, available for an Oklahoma, for a Notre Dame, for an Oregon, somebody of that
this
nature.
This might be the year you get somebody out of left field like the Cincinnati Bearcats.
How about that?
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Okay. All right. 54 passes for C.J. Stroud.
Too many.
In that game. 484 yards, three touchdowns, a costly pick late.
Yeah.
The Buckeyes only ran for 128 yards on 31 carries. So they ran 85 plays to Oregon 73 and outgained them, but still lost the game.
You should outgain them, especially when you've got the advantages of, in plays run. Now, it's hard to go on this game and say, oh, the quarterback played lousy.
Yeah.
Because for me, he didn't play like a winner. In the first half, his passes were high.
Yeah.
His accuracy is off a little bit. And yet, you know, you want to be too strong. You want to be too hard on the kid. And then people will remind you, but wait a minute. He threw for 484 yards.
Right.
But still, it just, for me, there's something missing. He's not there yet. He needs room to grow. And it's a coachable moment that we're looking for, that you've got to make the game easier for him. And maybe in crunch time, what does pressure do?
Pressure burst pipes.
Okay. Well, when it was crunch time, they couldn't deliver.
Well,
484 yards goes out the window when you can't deliver in crunch time. And you could almost say the same, and I hate to say it, because I think he played a great game, for Baker Mayfield.
Sorry, JT, guess what? The first 57 minutes of that game mean nothing at that point. Myles Garrett, who was silent for most of the game, right, made a play finally. He gets you a sack. He gets you the ball. You're down at that point 33-29 with 3 minutes to go, right? And you've got a chance to go win the game just like you did last time. Oh, yeah, this happened before at Kansas City in the playoffs, and they failed to do it. Well, here's the opportunity for Baker Mayfield to prove that he grew from that loss, even though it's just week one this season. They get the ball, they get to midfield, and it's first down. First down, take the sack, make sure you throw the ball away. You can't turn it up. That's the only thing you can't do right there on first down is turn the ball over, fumble or interception. And guess what?
Right.
He throws the interception. You cannot have that. And if you're going to get paid $40 million like you want to be paid $40 million a year, you've got to win that game. And Baker Mayfield, sorry, isn't a $40 million quarterback yet.
But no touchdown passes and one interception. 8-3-21, but no touchdown passes. And one interception.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could think of when I was leaving that game yesterday, and by the way, we had a great time at Centennial Plaza, as I heard you did as well, at Jersey's on Fulton Road, but what a great day to get together. Downtown Canton looks fantastic. Probably never looked better. So shout out to everyone that was there. Everyone that brought their own lounge chairs, brought their own blankets, sat in the infield. We had a blast. A really good time, family friendly, and we had a really good time until, of course, we lost. But the thing is, you know, you live to play another day.
Yep.
No moral victories because you lost the game. But with Baker Mayfield anyway, the one thing I walked away with was this. And I know you don't want to compare him to the GOAT, but Tom Brady doesn't lose that game.
Correct.
Patrick Mahomes doesn't lose that game. I'm not saying that Baker Mayfield lost it, but he sure as heck didn't win it.
I made this argument yesterday talking with Michael Regei, and I'll give it to you again. I go back to the 97 World Series. Indians are up 2-1 in the bottom of the ninth against the Florida Marlins. The job of the closer is to come in and get three outs, regardless of what happened in the previous eight innings, right? That's over and done with. Should they have had a bigger lead? Yes. But no, you had the lead. You had a chance to win. Jose Mesa blew it. Couldn't close, couldn't finish. Forget the turnovers, right? The two previous ones before the interception by Baker Mayfield on the drop punt by Jamie. Nice job, you effing punter.
That was terrible.
Jamie Gillen and Nick Chubb, who never puts it on the turf, right? Forget all that. 33-29, sacked by Myles Garrett. You get the ball back, plenty of time to go down and win that game. and you failed.
Yeah.
You couldn't close, just like Jose Mesa.
I can't forget it, and I'll tell you why. I can't forget those turnovers because they resulted in 10 points. That's a 10-point swing. But the thing is, the Browns need to learn how to win. They need to learn how to close these
Baker
games.
Baker does, too.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, it's a team effort, and had those turnovers not happened, you probably would have been in a position to run the clock out, not have to score a game-winning touchdown. That's all I'm saying. But again, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Turnovers are part of the game.
Yep.
When you're not playing the best, sometimes you have to be the best. Look, Oregon played their best game.
Yes, they
did.
And
what happened?
Yeah.
They beat Ohio State that didn't play well.
Right.
For the Browns to go into Kansas City on the road and win that game, it took like a Herculean effort. It was like the Cavaliers going out to beat Golden State. Well, that's what you compare it to.
Guess what? In the first half, it was a perfect first half, JT.
Absolutely.
They go up 22-10 at halftime. Kevin Stefanski, king-size cojones, 4th-and-2, 4th-and-3, whatever it was, we're going for it. Touchdown. 2-point conversion. Hey, we got an extra yard on the extra point. We're going for two. Well, they go up 8-0. Mm-hmm. They went for 4th-and-2 again later in the game. They scored a touchdown. They're up 22-10. He called the perfect first half. Hell,
no,
that razzle-dazzle trick play at the end of the first half almost scored, right?
Yep.
So they gave up 10 points. But to a Kansas City offense like that, 22-10 is a perfect first half. And then they wet the bed in the second half with 3 turnovers and the inability to finish games.
Penalties, you name it. You take your pick. Doesn't really matter. The difference is this. You can wake up today as a Cleveland Brown fan or a player and say, okay, we played fairly well. Let's get better. We know we have room to improve.
Right.
But the difference is this. If you wake up today and you're a Kansas City Chief or a Chief fan, are you feeling good about yourself? Well, not as good as probably the Browns are.
No, I disagree with you, and here's why.
They got scoreboard, but that's about it.
Here, you have Patrick Mahomes. So it reconfirms.
He can get better, too, but they didn't make as many. They made no mistakes. The Browns made all kinds of mistakes.
Well, they made some mistakes maybe with play calling, and here's where I'll go with that. I thought Andy Reid was out-coached in a big way in the first half because the Browns' defense was that bend but don't break. They kept everything in front of them. They weren't going to give up the big play to Kansas City, and I thought Kansas City kept trying to hit the big play until halftime. Mm. They went in the locker room, and what did they do? They came out with almost an 8-minute drive, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they took the underneath stuff, so 22-10 becomes 22-17 just like that, and they adjusted their offense until you had a breakdown with John Johnson III. But guess what? The only guy that makes that throw in the NFL is Patrick Mahomes on the run,
so lucky,
off balance to the sidelines, and he slings that sucker, and Tyreek Hill makes the catch and scores on one play.
So lucky. And that was an answer, too.
Is that luck or is that skill?
That was a lucky play if I ever saw
I think it's skill because Mahomes is the only one that can make that throw, and he has the confidence to make that
throw. If the throw was on a dime, that was a wounded duck. And if the center fielder makes a good play on it, you knock it down, Johnny Johnson. That's a lucky play. But, hey, that's part of the game. Just like turnovers are part of the game, and it happens.
Yeah.
But you know what? It just seems as though it happens to us more than anyone else in the National Football League, and that's a shame. So you know what? While we've got time, the first segment, here's what you may have missed over the weekend.
Sweet.
Did you miss again? Here are the weekend headlines that you have missed.
Blood pressure is up a little bit right now.
I can tell.
If you missed it, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame had their induction ceremonies over the weekend. They're not like baseball. We let a lot of people in. Chris Bosh, Paul Pierce, Ben Wallace, Chris Webber, and more. For the complete list, head over to WHBC.com. Kenny and JT show page. Did you even know this was going down?
I'm a basketball geek, so yeah, I was curious.
Where was the parade? Where was the balloon liftoff? Where were the fireworks?
I knew it was happening, and I was curious to see what Paul Pierce would say, and he was arrogant as all get out, as usual. I can't stand him, but he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Did they have a rib burn-off?
No, they did not.
A concert?
Jimmy and the Soul Blazers did not play
for them. What kind of Hall of Fame is that?
Yeah, okay.
If you missed it, the MTV Video Music Awards were held last night. Did you know they still had video music?
In honor of this segment, I missed it. And I'll miss it again next year, too.
This is what you missed then.
What?
Conor McGregor showed up and picked a fight with Cleveland rapper Machine Gun Kelly. What?
He's going to put something on Conor McGregor.
You can check out the video on my Twitter page at the J Turk. Conor McGregor can't control himself.
He's out of control.
He threw a drink at him.
Oh my! Wait, the Paul brothers grabbed his hat. He threw a drink at somebody. Them's fighting
actions.
I think
he got caught looking at Megan Fox.
Ah, there you go.
Them's fighting words.
Okay.
If you missed it, 58-year-old, he's my age. He's turning 59 in like 2 weeks.
Okay.
58-year-old Evander Holyfield was TKO'd in the first round of an exhibition fight against UFC fighter, former UFC fighter, Vitor Belfort. Belfort not only knocked him down, almost knocked him out of the ring.
Wait.
Holyfield accepted the assignment 8 days after Oscar De La Hoya tested positive for COVID-19. Holyfield was set to fight Kevin McBride in June, but the bout never materialized. Instead, he fought Belfort, got his butt whipped.
Wait a second. What night was this?
Saturday.
Well, no, that Dan Belfort wasn't there. He was Belfort.
No,
I thought you said Dan Belfort beat Fedor Evander Holyfield.
Fedor Belfort.
Oh, my bad. It's good. How about this? Guess how many punches Holyfield landed in the fight?
Good. TKO'd in the first round. I'm going to say none.
He landed one, but he threw 10 punches and landed one punch before getting his ass kicked.
That's one more punch than the Indians had hits over the weekend. If you missed it, the Indians managed to score 4 runs against the Brewers all weekend long.
Wow.
Including being no hit for the third time this season on Saturday. Milwaukee sweeps the Tribe in all 3 games, leaving Cleveland now at 69-72 for the season. Thank goodness. Only 21 games remain.
JT, they were one hit just a few days before that as well. And if you add a 7-inning no-hitter, they've really been no-hit 4 times this year.
You know who had that one hit?
Who?
Evander Holyfield.
Yeah, he had the one punch at Dan Belfort, and Belfort took it and knocked him out.
If you missed it, college football, Ohio State drops to number 9 in the AP rankings, number 11 in the coaches poll after being manhandled by Oregon 35-28 at home Saturday. Wow.
Yeah, 14-point favorites lose by 7, 21-point swing there. And when you say manhandled, you say, well, they only lost by a touchdown.
Yeah.
How can they be manhandled? They were out physical. That's what JT means, and you're absolutely right.
If you miss it in the AFC North, Steelers beat the Bills 23-16. Bengals over Minnesota 27-24 in overtime. Browns lose a heartbreaker to the Chiefs 33-29. And the Ravens, last time I checked, are 4-point favorites in Vegas tonight.
How about that? The Browns could be the only team winless after week one in the AFC North.
If you missed it, here's Brian with the high school football scores from Friday night.
Our Sarshone Ford game of the night saw McKinley hold off Perry 27-25. Jackson blocked a late green field goal. Polar Bears beat the Bulldogs 21-20. Hoover shut out Louisville 21-0. It was Lake 26, Glen Oak 7. Maslin held off Warren Harding 49-46 in the Wild One in Warren. Licking Heights edged Central Catholic 35-34. It was Carrollton, a late touchdown to break a tie and beat Canton South 34-28. Alliance pounded Minerva 56-6. West Branch annihilated Marlington 61-18. Fairless 4-0 now. They beat Northwest 28-7. Triway wins at Tuslaw 43-14. Sandy Valley 22-21 over Malvern. They score a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. That was the difference. East Canton, a win at Tuskegee Valley, 39-13. And Canton Valley beat St. Thomas Aquinas, 24-20.
Thank you.
Brian, one mistake you made there.
What's that?
Brian.
Yes.
It's not licking. It's licking.
Licking.
Yeah, like
and licking. And they play outside of NERC.
That's right.
Yeah.
NERC. Hey, JT, your boys from McKinley look good.
Yeah, well,
they were down 13 or 14 nothing. They came back and won that game. They earned it, and they looked good, and they celebrated big time as what'd they lose? 6 of the last 7 to Perry.
Yeah.
So that was a big win for Antonio Hall and the Bulldogs.
That's nice to get that monkey off your back, too, because that's a place that you don't have a lot of success.
Yep.
And you've got to learn how to win when you're a young coach and a young team like that, right?
Yep, absolutely. Good win for them. Back-to-back road wins for them after being left for dead by yours truly and others.
Yeah, no quitting. No question. So I'll tell you what. Let's get a break in right now. We'll get your phone calls in. Kenny and JT show. Now you're all cut up to date if you missed it. And everything else, you want to talk Browns, you want to talk Buckeyes, it's up to you. 330-450-1480. It's a Kenny and JT show.
It's Kenny and JT on WHBC.